I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's amazing word, and that heightens your awareness of his very real presence in your life. Merry Christmas to you. Well, my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me again today. She joins every month to address some of the most plaguing health issues, to answer questions about health and the healing process. She's fast becoming a world-renowned expert in the area of mold toxicity as well as other autoimmune issues. She's both an MD and a functional med doctor. As I said, she's an expert in health and the healing process. She's a woman of God, and she's my friend, and she's a busy woman in high demand. So the fact that she would give you, our dear listeners, this time and me this time, it's just such a treasured gift. We're going to talk today about health, the holidays, and how to build up your immunities, and we'll also answer your health and healing questions. If you want to get a jump start, text them in now at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Quick announcement, and it's not really an announcement, but just most of you know that we are a listener-supported ministry. I just want to take a moment to say thank you, our dear listeners. Thank you for your constant and continual faithfulness. The message of the gospel is going out all over the world because of your vision and because you're willing to invest in it. And we so appreciate that. Whether you listen to the live show in one of our terrestrial radio areas or you're a podcast listener, thank you, thank you. We appreciate it so much. All right, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Dr. Jill Carnahan is board certified in both family medicine and integrative holistic medicine. She owns her own practice in Flatiron Functional Medicine in Louisville, Colorado. And we're so honored to have her with us today. Dr. Jill, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Susie. It's always one of my favorite times of the month.
And as I said, you before the show, you pulled in on two wheels. So the fact that you're not even out of breath, it's kind of impressive, I just got to say. Thank you, honey. So you know
you're
this,
welcome.
We start every day talking scripture, and I know you love God's word. So what are you thinking about these days?
I do, and I have two. I couldn't decide on which was better, and they both work so well together today. So the first one is from Galatians 6:9. I'm sure many of you know this well. So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And it reminds me so much of what we're in, this pandemic. But this pandemic is actually, it's a secret. It's a time for planting. And so we get this time, this opportunity to go deep, to be a little bit more quiet in our souls and to look at ourselves and our health and the opportunities and growth. And I just think of it as we're going to see a lot of seeds that are planted this year that are going to grow and flourish in the coming years. And I know for me, it's been a massive time of growth and introspection and really looking at emotional health and relational health and family and friends and work and all these things. And I bet a lot of your listeners are feeling the same thing. So I love that verse because it's just, you know, don't get tired. Right now we're at the end of the year and you're probably doing another holiday and not exactly as you expected, but don't get tired because God's doing something and the seeds that you're planting this year are going to manifest in the coming decades.
What a beautiful word. Oh, thank you. I can't wait to hear your second one, but I just need to sit in that one. That's so profound because I really do believe that the seeds we've sown in this year in private, you know, as we've done that soul searching and responded to with the work of God in our lives, will bear fruit. And I think we're, even though times are shaking, we're going to be incredibly surprised at the harvest we're going to see in the days to come. That's a promise if you belong to God, isn't it?
Absolutely, Susie. I have this like such a joy in waiting to see what God does because it is a hard time for some and for me too, but it's also this exciting time to really, the world is never going to look the same and people and myself included don't like change. So we often think that change is bad, but there could be some really amazing, beautiful changes that actually happen that are some of the best things that we've seen so far. And that reminds me, the second one, again, like I said, they go together. This one is in Psalms 27:13, and it's, yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I am here in the land of the living. And, I almost get choked up thinking about this because I love this. We know in heaven we're going to have beauty and perfection and be with God. But I love this verse because he promises we're going to see goodness here on earth. It's not a promise. So many Christians live for eternity, which is wonderful. We all are looking forward to that. But God gives us this earth and this life to live it fully on this earth with his people and those who know him, those who don't know him, and all those people we come in contact with. And I get excited about that because he promises his goodness and his miracles in the land of the living.
Amen and amen. Somebody's got to give me an amen on that one. Well, as you were saying, you know, our holidays are looking different this year. And even so, though, we're faced with healthy and unhealthy choices. And while you and I don't want to be killjoys, we do want to remind ourselves that we are in the midst of a pandemic. And so shoring up our health and even choosing healthy options is a wise thing to do. Maybe say a word about that.
Sure. Well, gosh, I just see this so clearly as there's so many layers, and I have no problem with the fact that we've been in lockdown off and on and wearing masks and things. However, there's some things that what happens, I think, is we look to our insurance companies, we look to our doctors, even like myself, or we look to other people in authority to give us the rules or the regulations or the ways to help ourselves. And the truth is what we want to do today is just empower you. Anyone who's listening probably already has that sense that you have choices and you have things you can do, but you really do have control over your immune system and the ability to fight off an infection. And that's something that when you're watching mass media, you don't get that message very often, that you actually have ability to have more control over your ability to fight this infection. So I get excited about that because there is so much you can do. So practical things, just getting enough sleep and then eating healthy. And like Susie said, we don't want to be a killjoy, but choosing whole foods whenever possible, less processed foods, you're going to really wake up feeling better. You're going to sleep better. You're going to be able to fight off infections better. And so the amount of sugar you consume, the amount of processed foods you consume, the amount of sodas you consume, even coffee or alcohol or other beverages like that really, really do impact your health. So making those choices today, you're going to feel better and you're going to be more centered in ability to fight off any infections that might come your way.
You post these incredible recipes on Instagram, and I know they land on your website as well. But it just goes to show you that you can have sweet treats, really fun things. And you even listed, like on this almond crunchy treat, some benefits because of the almonds. So speak, if you would, about some of these options. Maybe you've got a couple of favorites that are your go-tos.
Sure, Susie. Yeah. So if you want to see, these are all free. They're on my website, which is just my name, jillcarnahan.com. And you can go under the tab is blog that says Dr. Jill's Recipes. And there's hundreds of them here, and they're all free. Some of my favorites are, there's a cinnamon sugar cookie recipe that has no sugar in it. And it tastes just like the old-fashioned sugar cookies your mom used to make. We have, like you mentioned, that almond crunch bar, super simple recipe, basically coconut oil and almonds and just a very few amount of ingredients. But it is, I just had it this weekend and it is so delicious. The only thing is it does still have maple syrup in it. And if you have just one, it's hard to stop there. So that's the other thing. But there's also lots of, there's smoothie recipes and there's even a sugar-free ice cream, dairy-free ice cream recipe. So there's some really good treats and things that you can make. There's lots of holiday things. My very favorite is my own paleo pumpkin pie recipe. And it has no grains and no sugar. And it is, most of the people who have it. In fact, I had a colleague recently who said, I hate pumpkin pie. And he said, well, you got to try this one. And he's like, okay, you made me a believer. He loved this pumpkin pie.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, well, here's a question, and it puts you on the spot a little bit, but I know you're a big girl, so you can decide. But we've got a dear listener who, she's a nurse, and her daughter, I don't know how old her daughter is, but she's had severe eczema, severe, and they've tried everything. And she does say that she's also suffering from some mold issues, and she is desperate to be bring her daughter to see you. And I know you're not doing in person, and I don't even think you're taking new patients, but what can we say to her? She just wanted me to ask.
Well, first of all, listener, if you want to contact me privately, we'll see what we can do. Second of all, eczema. I grew up with very, very severe eczema, so I know I'm totally, my heart goes out to you and your daughter, because I remember having literally the skin falling off my legs and arms and parts of my body because it was so bad. So we think of eczema, oh, this little irritation, but I know how bad it can get and how it would wake me up at night just itching, like scraping off my skin and bleeding on the bed sheets because it was so bad. Mm. So I really do understand the severity. So eczema is a barrier issue. It's a skin barrier issue, and it's usually at the root of food leaky gut issue. So there's probably some sort of dysbiosis going on in the gut, and usually it's more geared towards fungal rather than bacterial, although it could be both. So some of the things that I know would be safe are, because of that gut permeability, whether you're 2 or 20, often an elimination diet is a first thing that you can start that might give you some great relief. And I will say this to any listener, if you have unexplained joint pain, unexplained brain fog, fatigue, weird skin rashes and things, an elimination diet is a great, free, easy thing. You don't even need to hire someone like me or see another doctor. You can do this on your own by yourself. It's easy. For 30 days, you want to go off the top allergen-containing foods. And these are wheat or gluten, which is also rye and barley, dairy, so cow's milk and all other forms of dairy, egg, soy, corn, sugar, alcohol. And sometimes we include peanut because that's a real common allergy. Now, that may sound impossible, but it's funny, we started with the recipes. Almost all of the recipes on my website are elimination diet friendly. I don't put anything up there that has corn or soy or wheat or dairy, so you're going to be guaranteed those things are out of the recipes on my site. And it's funny, too, I just reposted an old blog called How to Deal with the Holidays if You Have Food Allergies. So this is relevant, too, and if you want to go to that site and get some ideas, it's called, let me give you the exact title, How to Safely Celebrate the Holidays When You Have Food Sensitivities. So you could just go on the website and search, and it's all free there. But these things are real important for eczema, because by eliminating those foods that are triggering inflammation, often the eczema will improve. So what you do is 30 days off all of those foods. The half-life of antibodies is about 21 days, so you need at least 3 weeks to get those antibody levels down in order to see a result. After that, you might see improvements, and that's great. You can go 60, you can go 90 days, you can go longer. But the key is, if you do reintroduce foods, you must reintroduce them one at a time, separated by 3 to 5 days. So, for example, if you had dairy on Monday, you wouldn't want to have gluten or another type of eliminated food till maybe Friday or Saturday. Because when you introduce those foods, those antibodies that were kind of dying down, they are like ravenous wolves, and all of a sudden they light up and you get a real flare in joint pain or eczema or brain fog, and you're like, oh, I'm totally reacting to dairy. And then you can put together two and two. I always say it's like the static on the radio. Before then, it's hard to differentiate what things might be contributing to that symptom. And then the last thing for eczema is barriers like coconut oil-based, jojoba oil-based creams and things are real important, because that skin barrier is compromised. And then you want to treat the gut. So it's probably best to go to a doctor who can check stool test and urine test and see if there's fungal or overgrowth. But it would be safe to do antifungal herbs, and those could include oregano, garlic, berberine, powder arco, caprylic acid, undulaceic acid. There's many, many, many out there, and you can use combinations of those as well.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. We're going to pause here. When we come back, this listener wants to know, what is the best natural way to improve overall cholesterol numbers, and your opinions on statins and co-statins? We'll answer that question on the other side. I'm talking to my friend, Dr. Jill Carnahan. Welcome your health and healing questions. You can hear this from me all the time. I believe it with everything in me. God wants you well. He wants me well. And most of us have to contend for it. You know, we live in a world that's pretty toxic, and some of us have a tougher time than others in processing those toxins. But we're moving forward. We're going to keep marching, and we're going to make the right choices and trust God to do what only He can do. I like to say we're going to pursue healing, and then we're going to pray for a miracle. We welcome your questions. Text them in, 877-933-2484. Back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my friend Dr. Jill Carnahan. She's both an MD and a functional med doc, and we're talking health, the holidays and our immunities, building up our immunities. We sure welcome your questions. 877-933-2484. Text your question in. This dear listener says, what's the best natural way to improve overall cholesterol numbers? And then your opinions on statins.
Yeah, so this is such a great question because I am not against statins in the right population, and they tend to work better for men who have already had a previous heart attack or some sort of diagnosed heart issue. The issue there is they do lower cholesterol, and at first we thought that was why they worked and how they worked, but they actually have other anti-inflammatory benefits. The downside is there's a percentage of the population that gets myopathies and pain in the muscles and soreness, and so they do not feel well on statins. Some of this can be mitigated by coenzyme Q10. So part of the way that statins work is by blocking the enzyme that makes CoQ10. So what I do is if I do have a patient that needs a statin drug, I will make sure that they have that coenzyme Q10 on board to block, to make sure that they're making that CoQ10. But if you are in other categories and not at high risk, you'd want to talk to your doctor about alternatives. But I often use red yeast rice. That's an alternative. It's actually one of the original products that where they found the statin drug. It was on this rice growing, the statin-like substance. So it's called red yeast rice, and it actually has a statin-like effect in the body, and I've seen that lower cholesterol very nicely when needed. And once again, even with that, I would use coenzyme Q10. There's a couple other things. Plant sterols can be very helpful, and bergamot. Bergamot is a newer one that's very good for cardiovascular disease. So those are the typical things that we'll use for lowering cholesterol. And, of course, I really see all the time just diet and exercise, unless you're an APOE4-4, which is sounds like foreign language, but it's genetics, which means you actually hang on to cholesterol at a higher level. So that's a subset of people who are going to have high cholesterol no matter how they eat.
Hmm. Yeah, my hubby has got some of that genetic predisposition, so to speak, with a lot of family members with high cholesterol. He's the fifth of nine who've had cancer, and his wow. doc said he would never get off of statins. But then when he saw Dr. Troy, who's on our show once a month, yes. Got on these different supplements that you talked about, changed his diet, he was able, even his MD, when he went to see him, they looked at his numbers and said, you can get off your statin. And we just didn't know if that would ever happen, but it was doing so many of the things you're talking about. So, man, it's worth, you got to do it strategically, but don't give up hope because you can.
Yes, there's so much hope. I love that.
Mm. All right. This one says, Janet says, I've been fighting multiple myeloma, amyloidosis. I started immunotherapy and will start the Hockett and L-glutathione treatments. Your opinion? Praying for a miracle and appreciate your prayers. What do you think?
Yeah, so I am so sorry to hear that. That's quite an issue. And you said multiple amyloidosis, and then what was the first thing that you mentioned?
Multiple myeloma, I think I'm saying that right.
Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's where you have an overgrowth of proteins from the blood cells, and it looks like a kind of like a precancerous condition. So you're creating extra proteins in your body. The amyloid is a similar process. So this is tricky because there's not going to be just one size fits all as far as a solution naturally or with functional medicine. But what I would typically do is that is in the realm of an overactive immune system, which is in the realm of autoimmunity. And I think we talked in the show before, but there's a few things that are common to all of these overactive types of situations, and that's there's often a leaky gut immune barrier issue. So that's where the immune system gets triggered to go off on a rampage and start to act abnormally. So if you get back to the gut, you're usually going to have a good effect on the whole system. And that would be treating leaky gut, treating if there's abnormal overgrowth of bacteria or fungi or parasites, eating a good clean diet like we talked about, like an elimination diet would be an excellent way to start there. And then healing the gut through things like glutamine powder or bovine immunoglobulins and just vitamins D and zinc and A can be real important for the gut as well. So I would start with the gut, and then environmental exposures can also be triggers to abnormal blood cells and things like multiple myeloma or thrombocytosis, which is excess platelets or any of these things. And so if you can look at environmental exposures and have your doctor test for chemicals, for mold, for heavy metals, a lot of the times this toxic load can also contribute to the problem. So if you have a great doc who can help you with a detox program, that could really help you out as well.
Thank you for that. Kendra says, since the birth of my third child, I've suffered from muscle cramps, spasms, usually in my legs, arms, or back. Eating bananas helps. Supplementing with magnesium and potassium helps. But if I miss a day, I'm back to square one. I don't want to be tied down to supplements the rest of my life. How do I get permanent relief?
Oh, bless your heart. I so understand this. Because a lot of us, you know, if you would see the handful of supplements I take every day, I always joke because the patient's like, oh, this is so much. I don't want to do this. And I'm like, well, look at what I've got to take. And I don't mind this. And I'm not at all, please, I'm not shaming you for not wanting to take supplements. I so understand. And yet, our soils are depleted. We have about a fifth of the magnesium in our soils today, no matter if it's organic or not, farm grown or not, you're not going to get the nutrients out of the soils. And those soils are what's feeding our plants. And things like an apple today has a fifth of the magnesium as it did 100 years ago. So we have to get used to the idea that we may not get it all from our diet, even though that's how God created it to be. So supplements are not a bad thing. And minerals especially, there can be reasons when you talk about potassium, magnesium, clearly from your question, you understand those are the two of the most important ones, and they really do help your leg cramps. That's usually in the colon where there's absorption. So there could either be some other inflammation or something going on with your absorption of those nutrients. You could also have low stomach acid, which is a key to absorbing calcium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and potassium. And if you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your stomach, you'll tend to be deficient in minerals. The other thing that's really common is maybe you got a reverse osmosis filter in your house a year ago, and that's pulling all the minerals out of your water so that every time you drink water, you're depleted of minerals because it's very acidic, and it's also depleted of those essential minerals. So I would recommend adding something like European mineral water, San Pellegrino, Gerald Steiner. Those are some of the better brands because drinking those between meals will add to your mineral content as well.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. Carolyn says, what does Dr. Jill think of the companies that analyze blood samples that you send in for food allergies?
Oh, yeah. So we've done this for 20 years, is check our patients. Just like we said with the elimination diet, that's a freeway without a blood test for you to check for some food allergies. But we very frequently, I would say most of my patients, I will order blood tests that check for not the allergies, which is IgE, because you can get those, we order those as well, but those are like a classic anaphylaxis to peanut allergy kind of thing. And usually people know those because when you have that situation, it's very, very obvious. These others are more like food sensitivities. We don't even call them allergies because the allergists, they have that proprietary IgE is only allergy, and none of these other things really count. However, they do count because long-term they'll create inflammation and symptoms like I mentioned earlier, joint pain or brain fog or fatigue or sluggish function or sluggish bowels or all kinds of different things, even skin rashes and lesions. And so they're more subtle and they're systemic, so they're not a classical allergen and they can be tested in the blood. So your question was, what do you think about these? Well, there have been a lot of companies that have been popping up and to the public and saying, hey, do these food allergy tests. I think most of them are good. So you just look for a good company that's certified. CLIA certified is a lab certification and reasonable cost, of course. And that, you know, maybe have some backing by your physician or your functional medicine doctor. There's labs that I use, Vibrant Labs, U.S. Biotech, Dunwoody, Genova Diagnostics, Doctor's Data. Those are all labs that I know are very legit, and there's probably more. But those are excellent tests, and they can be helpful. There's one caveat. If you have severe gut permeability, so for example, some of you know my history. I had Crohn's disease many years ago. I had massive gut permeability. And if you do a blood test on me for food sensitivities, I light up like a Christmas tree. I have, you know, say up to 96 foods, I might light up to 50 of them. And what that means is not just that I need to go off all those foods, but that there is permeability at risk at work there.
All right, we're going to pause here talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan. Thanks so much, friends, for texting in. We welcome more questions if you've got them, 877-933-2484. Send a text. Otherwise, I've got a backlog of questions from the last time she was on. We'll be back in just a moment. Love came to earth. Jesus came, was born, and he lived and he died for us. Follow him around the Gospels and you'll notice how often he healed people and addressed the human condition. He came to save us, but to do more than that, to restore us and to redeem our story. He cares about the things that ail you. He cares deeply. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. My friend Dr. Jill Carnahan joins me once a month. She's both an MD and a functional medicine doc, and she's a woman of God, and I wish I could multiply her 10 10 times over. We need more of her on the earth today. But here's a question. In fact, I'm going to just encourage you to text your questions in to 877-933-2484. But Dr. Jill, this listener says, I'm a patient at Synapse, that's Dr. Troy's clinic, in the middle of their six-month, four-dimensional health reconstruction plan. Long story short, I've been basically debilitated by mold toxicity issues for the last 5 years. When going through the preliminary intake process at the clinic, I exhibited every symptom of mold toxicity, and we're still trying to pinpoint exactly what is all affecting my body. Waiting on blood tests, urine tests, etc., while moving forward with detoxing, plus I'm on the adding-on portion of an eight-week elimination diet. Okay, my question is this. My biggest and most debilitating symptom has to do with electric shock. Randomly get what my kids call zappy. I short circuit electronics, metal buttons on my clothes burn me. My hair stands on end and a million other things that make me feel like I'm plugged into an electrical outlet. Every list of mold toxicity symptom lists electric shock too. And the nurse explained some of the reasons, but it's still extreme. We're still in the preliminary stages of figuring this out. But I wonder if Dr. Jill has any experience with extreme static electric body, also known as my super zappy metahuman superpower. they still have a sense of humor. That's a good thing. But oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So I remember when I was first learning about mold toxicity and I came upon this, and I'll explain it. It just fascinating, not so fascinating when you're experiencing it, but I do have some ideas. So first of all, let me explain what's happening because it'll help you better understand the solutions. So what happens is when you have mold exposure, it affects multiple pituitary hormones. One of them is MSH. That's melanocyte-stimulating hormone. When that MSH is lowered, it can also affect antidiuretic hormone. And as it sounds, a diuretic is something that makes you urinate more frequently. So ADH, or antidiuretic hormone, will help you conserve volume in your vascular system. So when we are maybe not drinking enough water, or we're out on a hike and we're sweating, our body knows, oh, there's not enough fluid here, so that ADH goes up, and it's just like a switch that allows the body to hang on to volume so that you don't urinate it all out. And you might notice if you go on a hike and you get dehydrated, or if you forget to drink enough water, you're not urinating very frequently. And you might go through your whole day and not use a restroom or not urinate. And you're like, oh my gosh, I need to drink more water because I'm not drinking enough because I'm dehydrated. Because our body's really wise. God created us to have this on-off switch. So the mold toxins affect ADH. And what happens is instead of hanging on to the volume when you're dehydrated, the switch is completely broken. So you can drink and you pee everything right out. So usually the part of the symptoms is frequent urination and increased thirst because you're walking around, you're dehydrated all the time, and you can't drink enough to save yourself because it's going right out when you urinate. And many times I have friends and family and patients that get a mold exposure and they notice that the first thing they notice is increase in urination. So what does that have to do with electric shock? Well, what happens is as you sweat out on the surface of the skin, you're sweating a very salty concentrate because you're dehydrated, and you actually, it's just like a patient with cystic fibrosis who has abnormalities in the channels that create, you know, sodium and potassium, and so you get this salt gradient on your skin, and that gradient creates a charge, an electrostatic charge on your surface of your skin. So just like you mentioned, if you touch, I've had people who break computers, break watches, who shock other people, who all the things you mentioned, because your skin surface is actually a battery. And you are going around and charging things as you go. So it's not very funny, though, when it's happening. What I would recommend, first of all, is electrolytes are going to be your best friend. So start with something, and electrolytes come in all different forms. Some of them like Pedialyte versions, which is not one I would typically recommend, but that's one that's commercially available. It's made for when you have diarrhea, like a kid who has lots of loose stools or a gastroenteritis. And so it has a high potassium content. The other kinds are more for runners and athletes that are sweating out a lot of salt, and they have a high sodium content. So if you have this problem with electrostatic shock and mold, you're going to want to get one with a higher sodium content. And in fact, the poor man's version is just using Himalayan sea salt or Celtic sea salt in a glass of water two or three times a day. There's things like Thorn, Catalyte, and other ones that are in that. That's just one brand. There's a million out there that are good electrolyte solutions that you can use to help that.
Wow. Okay, this dear listener, Marilyn, says, hi, I've had 90% of my stomach removed from cancer and have burning mouth syndrome and have a really hard time eating without it burning. Please help. Oh, dear Marilyn, I want to just hug her. What do you say?
Oh, Yes, you poor thing, because that mucous membrane. So there could be a couple things going on here. Burning mouth, so that's the mucosal immunity, and IgA is part of that mucosal immunity. So sometimes people will have abnormalities in their SIgA or secretory IgA. One of the really simple things that it can be is gluten intolerance or even celiac disease. So at the very first, I would at least try a 100% gluten-free diet for 30, 60, 90 days and see if that helps. The second thing that comes to mind is oxalates. Oxalates can be produced by both yeast and mold, and you can also get them in your diet. So if you look up dietary sources of oxalates, you can find lists of foods. They're really good foods, so I hate to have people limit them unless they know there's an issue, but things like almonds and spinach and other things that are strawberries, wonderful foods, right?
All my favorites.
I know. You and I know about oxalates, Susie, don't we? So you can have, you basically, if your body's producing too much oxalates from mold or yeast, you have to be a little more careful about what you eat or it'll contribute to that load. And it can create joint pain, bladder pain, burning mouth, vaginal burning, and many other symptoms. So I would look at oxalates and gluten to see if those two things might help.
Very good. Carmen says, I was diagnosed with Lyme 5 years ago. And a side note, before I was diagnosed, I had such terrible inflammation on my brain, I couldn't even touch my head. Been treating with a local functional doctor. First, he treated me for SIBO. Now, last 2 years, I'm treating for mast cell histamine intolerance with meds and supplements. I've had a histamine intolerance my entire life. Lyme just caused it to escalate. Also did LDI for the Lymes and doing the DNRS system. It's all been very helpful. However, no matter what I do, I can't get over the neuropathy in my feet. It used to be that I didn't have it all the time. Now it's constant, bad enough that when I go for a walk, I use walking poles, which helps. What are your thoughts? Should I be seeing a neurologist? I appreciate any suggestions.
Oh, bless you, because you have done so many things, and all the listeners are like, what's LDI? What's DNRS? If you don't know those, look them up. They are helpful. LDI is a low-dose immunotherapy that can desensitize your immune system to triggers, and DNRS is a system that can help your body to decrease the limbic response or the fight-or-flight response that we all get in response to mold or Lyme or some of these tricky illnesses. So I just want to mention those, because if you're listening out there and you're wondering what else to do, those are actually really great things that this listener has already tried. So what to do? Neuropathy with Lyme. I would almost guarantee Bartonella is one of the infections. That's just a clinical suspicion I have based on the fact that neuropathy is present. And if you're not treating Bartonella, but you're just treating Lyme, it could continue to get worse. So what I would do, and Bartonella is hard to detect. You can go with Igenix is one of the best labs out there that tests for Lyme and co-infections. And I would ask your doctor to get a FISH. F-I-S-H, just like the swimming thing in the water, and then a PCR test for Bartonella to see if it's active. And if you don't find it there, Galaxy Labs specializes in Bartonella, and those are two things that you could do to see if that's the real issue. Treatment's complicated, and I would absolutely recommend you see a neurologist just to rule out other causes and make sure that you're not pinning it on Lyme, and it could be something else like blood sugar. But it sounds to me like Bartonella.
Wow. And this one, what is your opinion on keto lifestyle? I was able to lose 30 pounds and I want to stay on this lifestyle. What do you say?
Yeah, so keto, again, probably most of the listeners are familiar, but this is like an 80% fat diet where you're going real high fat and moderate protein and lower carb. And what it does is it switches off, it helps you to re-regulate your glucose metabolism. So many of us are on refined carbohydrates and soda and different things, and we have created insulin resistance. And then the chemicals like PCBs and parabens and phthalates and organophosphates and all these things in our food supply also contribute to this. It's like pre-diabetes. So one of the things you can do to reverse diabetes, reverse some of the early Alzheimer's, is go on a keto diet. I'm a huge fan with a couple caveats. The caveats would be if you are not getting enough fiber in your diet, you're starving your microbiome. So I always think long-term, you want to make sure that you're getting some plant foods. And there are ways to do plant-based keto, which sounds counterintuitive, but my only caution is if you're totally eliminating plant-based foods, that's not long-term sustainable. But as long as you can get some of those plants back in, it's an excellent way to do it.
All right. This Nancy says, what kind of water do you recommend? Our tap water tastes like chlorine. I used to fill plastic containers with purified drinking water at the grocery store, but that closed when COVID hit. Now I purchase it in pre-filled plastic containers. Is the plastic concerning? Haven't purchased a water filter pitcher yet because we have high sediment, which requires frequent filter replacement. What do you say?
Oh, I love this question. Such great questions, because I always say at the very, very core, we talked at the beginning about immune system, and we're all dealing with a pandemic and a little bit of fear of not getting sick. And it's really simple at the core. I always say clean air, clean water, clean food. You can start really simply. So obviously clean water is one of the top three things that you can do for your health. So this is a very relevant question. I would not recommend plastic bottles. And I know for now it's been what you could do and get by. And if you can't afford anything else, that's totally fine. But usually if you think about the cost you're spending for that compared to buying a water filter, they don't have to be super expensive. You're probably going to save money in the long run. So we talked earlier about reverse osmosis. Those are those whole house filters. Those are great because they're going to filter your bath water, your shower water, your whole entire home. But it's a very acidic water, and it depletes minerals. It's depleted of minerals. It doesn't deplete minerals. It's depleted of minerals. So if you're going to just get like a countertop, my very favorite is the Berkey water filter. And another option, clearly filtered, makes a great refrigerator unit that takes out like 99.9% of all impurities. And there's many other out there. I'm not brand loyal to any of those. I just happen to have both in my house. And they're incredibly clean ways to do it and fairly affordable as well compared to buying the water.
All right. Very good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we'll take a few more questions. You can text them in 877-933-2484. And here's one for you. Let's say you do blow it over the holidays. What's the best way to get back on track? Is it a radical detox kind of a thing? Or what's the best way to do a reset? We'll ask Dr. Jill that question on the other side. You're listening to Suzy Larson Live, and we'll have more with Dr. Jill Carnahan in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in. Suzy Larson here. We're praying, hoping that you have a Merry Christmas and intimate time with God if you're able to connect with a few of your loved ones. Also want you to stay healthy. Don't want you to lose all kinds of ground this holiday season. The temptation, I think, is to throw caution to the wind because you're just tired of the whole 2020 and you want to party on. We want you to have fun, but we want you to be wise too. Talking to Dr. Jill Carnahan today about health, the holidays, and building up your immunities. We've got a few more minutes. If you have questions you want to text in, here's the number, 877-933-2484. I just want you to have a long-term vision for your health, you know, get a picture. And I think there's a time for some fun little sweet treats, but making the bigger choices to move you forward is great. This listener asks the question, I have a couple of autoimmune issues, and all the special diets like paleo, AIP, etc. have a side benefit of losing weight, lowering blood pressure, lowering cholesterol. I definitely don't need to lose weight. In fact, I'm trying to maintain a healthy low side of what my weight should be, and my blood pressure definitely doesn't need to be lowered. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, absolutely. So usually with those things are very low carb. And so if you are prone to lower weight or you're afraid of losing weight, you can add in some gluten-free carbs like sweet potatoes or starches from squashes or things like rice or quinoa, even though technically it's grain-free a lot of times, you can add a little bit of that back and have no problem. The other thing that's important, if you're not getting, we talked about this earlier with a patient with the shocking syndrome, with salt. So salt's going to keep your blood pressure normal and regulate that volume. So if you feel like you're prone to really low blood pressure, you probably need a little bit more salt in your diet, and that's a great way to get it.
Hmm. Talk, if you would, about, here another one just came in, so I'll take this one. Oh, boy. I don't know if I want to go here. What's the doctor's opinion of the COVID vaccine? We have to be really careful on this one. Do you want to pass on that?
You know, I can say something very, very neutral, and I think it's appropriate. I would watch the details because right now the studies are coming out, and I think my party line has been, I probably won't be the very first in line. I want to see the data. I'm not pro, I'm not against. I'm very neutral. But I think it's important to see what happens in time, and that's what I would leave you with.
Mm-hmm. Especially with our issues, yours and my issues.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
yes.
The hypersensitivity. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I take a little too much D, I'm up all night. I mean, it's like my body.
Somebody watching closely.
Yes, thank you for that. Appreciate that so much. Say a word, if you would, about histamine intolerance. I think a lot of people deal with head pressure, maybe even migraines or different things. and don't really make the connection. Hey, I just had spaghetti or I had leftovers. And they, you know what I'm saying? It's not even occurring that to them to make a connection, but they may be dealing with some kind of histamine intolerance. Maybe unpack that a bit.
Sure. And the reason why, you know, a lot of these things, whether it's mold or Lyme or histamine intolerance, why didn't we see these 50 years ago to this extent? So part of it is our immune system is made, our mast cells are part of our immune system. They are made to react to threatening invaders. And so they're doing their job. But what's happened in the last decade or two decades is our environmental toxic load from chemicals, from air quality, from poor food, from food additives, from all these kinds of things has gotten increasing and basically overwhelmed the body's ability. And so the mast cells are overreactive in many people, and that's what creates histamine intolerance. There could also be genetic issues with breakdown of histamine, or there could be enzymatic issues with DAO enzyme, and then you can't break it down in food. So there's also there's production issues, and there's breakdown issues, and all of these can contribute to too much histamine. And it can cause headaches. It can cause skin rashes and hives. It can cause increased intestinal permeability, loose stools, stomach upset, heartburn. It can cause brain fog, poor focus, concentration, memory. It can cause heart palpitations. It can cause anxiety or insomnia. And that's just a very short list of other things that it could do. So it really does affect all the systems.
Could they go to your site? You've got so many incredible blog posts and just search histamine intolerance and learn a lot more about it.
Yeah, Susie. So really all these things we talked about, the recipes are there for free. The blog, if you just search by topic, whether it's mold or histamine or Lyme or brain health or how to avoid unhealthy foods during the holidays, they're all there. You can just search under the search bar. And then products we love, too. There's all the kinds of filters and other things that we talked about there as well.
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. What diet can prepare me to fast? A listener asks.
Okay, that's a great question. So you would probably want to really decrease protein. Protein takes the most amount of energy to digest, and we need protein, so you don't want to do that forever. But if you're preparing for a fast, you could go with like just fruits and vegetables and juicing, because that would be very, or soups or things like broths, because that would be very easy for your body to digest, and then you can go right into the fast. And then the same way coming out of the fast, you want to add in very easily digestible foods when you go from a fast right back into eating. It's easier for your body to transition that way.
All right. This one says, I'm 74, have type 2 diabetes. My ACC is 8. I'm trying to lose weight and lower the glucose with chromium and Garcinia Cambodia. I think I'm saying that right. I don't want to go on metformin. Can you suggest something, please?
So there is lots of data on the two things you mentioned, and also alpha-lipoic acid. I would absolutely want to get that on board. Lots of data on blood sugar regulation. I think you mentioned chromium, which is important. Cinnamon I love, and you can use that as actual cinnamon spice in your coffee or on your food, or you can actually take cinnamon as a supplement. Berberine has a lot of activity. It actually helps regulate gut microbiome, and it has an activity similar to metformin. So talk to your doctor about maybe adding berberine as well.
Very good. I've been using cinnamon in my vegetable protein shake. I just have organic cinnamon, and I sprinkle it in there with a few frozen peaches, and it's amazing. But I thought I read something somewhere. Cinnamon has like an anti-cancer agent as well. Is that right?
Yes, I just had a study not too long ago, anti-cancer benefits and then also anti-inflammatory and they're lowering blood sugar, so it's got lots of benefits. I think in that day, the Ceylon, the Ceylon was the brand that they all help, so any brand that you have that's organic is good. And these aren't brands, they're just like types of cinnamon, but that type of cinnamon had the most benefit.
Say that again, Ceylon, you said?
Ceylon, yeah. I think it's Ceylon. I'm not positive. I'm a terrible speller, but I believe it's Ceylon that had the most benefit.
Love that. Okay. This listener says, I've been told I could have bile acid malabsorption. My symptoms have been unbelievable, diarrhea, often with incontinence. I feel like I'm a prisoner to my bathroom at times. Any thoughts?
Oh, yes. So first of all, I'm sorry. I know how I've had Crohn's before. I've had all kinds of anything to do with the gut. I've probably experienced it, so I have a lot of compassion. But all that to say, something that doctors often don't check is pancreatic insufficiency. And you can check this. Your doctor can order a stool pancreatic elastase through any commercial lab, or of course, our specialty stool labs do it as well. And if that is below 200, you have pancreatic insufficiency. And that means your pancreas is not secreting enough lipase or enzyme problems to break down, especially fats, but it can include protein and carbohydrates. The importance of that is if you are not breaking down fats and you don't have lipase, it's going to go right through you and cause lots of indigestion and loose stools and those kinds of symptoms that you're describing. So what I would try is try a pancreatic enzyme based with pancreatin, and then consider if that doesn't help, you could add ox bile or bitters. Those would all help the bile acid secretion as well.
Very good. So let's talk to the person who's already planning to just go hog wild this holiday season. I don't know. They're going to eat like crazy, but they want to start fresh in January. What is the best way to maybe interrupt kind of a pathway that, you know, where you're really eating everything, you know what I'm saying? What's the best way to reset?
Exactly. Go enjoy. Well, and I want to address really quick one way. If you are like, oh, I'm so tempted, I want to do that, but I kind of don't. Plan ahead, because planning is going to, I used to, you know, now we're not traveling and we're probably, most of us are going to be at home for the holidays. But back in the day, I would actually ship food if I was going to a location for a few days from one of the commercial. And nowadays, of course, food delivery, shipping food is no big deal. Or you can just make sure that you have something like a grain-free snack bar or a nuts or seeds or things that are easily, you know, you can take with you. Because that can be helpful if you get like really hungry and you don't have anything to eat but the, you know, casseroles and the dairy and gluten and alcohol and sugar, then you're going to go and eat that. But back to the person who's just like, nope, I'm just going to enjoy myself. And then after that, I will do something different. So the January plan I would recommend is, it's funny, we talked about an elimination diet, but that's a great way to start the thing I mentioned earlier in the show, which is eliminating gluten, dairy, sugar at the very least. So if that's all you can do, those top three, gluten, dairy, sugar, 30 days. If you want to go a little bit more broad, you can do the gluten, dairy, sugar, egg, soy, corn, peanut, sugar, and alcohol in 30-day elimination diet. And then I would add in, the best way to lose weight and control cravings is, like you mentioned, Susie, I do this too, those protein smoothies. And you can do them as a meal replacement using like an organic plant-based protein, whatever kind that you like. And then usually I'll do leafy greens and frozen berries and coconut or almond milk, some ice, and pretty simple. And it's a meal. It's a meal replacement.
Yeah, I do that too. Almost every day after I work out, I just absolutely love it. A few, just like three or four slices of frozen peaches, a little clove and cinnamon, almond milk, and it's 30 grams of protein after my workout. I just absolutely love it. And I didn't think with all the food issues I have that there would be something so delicious, but they are really making a lot of options for people with issues, aren't they?
They really are. And there's everything from, I wouldn't do a lot of soy protein. Whey protein is from dairy. So if you're sensitive, that's not the best, but it can be really good for immune system. If you're not sensitive, the ones you typically use are pea and rice and quinoa. They're like plant-based proteins. And now they have more like bone broth and collagen proteins too. So those are kind of your types that you could choose from.
So we just got about 2 minutes left, but just if you would, I mean, my sense as I kind of get a vision for healthcare in the years to come is, it goes back to what you said at the open of the show, that even though a lot of people are dictating, and they're dictating through fear, I think a lot, we have more choices than we really know to build up our immunities and to strengthen our health. I think we're just so used to treating symptoms, just write me a prescription. But if we can take some ownership, we can really make some grounds in our own personal health, can't we?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love, if we can leave people with hope, that you do have control over a lot, and probably a lot more than you think you do. So taking a few of the basic nutrients, I mean, vitamin D has shown over and over again to be super important for the immune system. If there was a desert island vitamin, meaning I could take one thing with me, I would choose vitamin D, although you'd probably get a lot of sunshine on the desert island. But either way, that's super critical. Zinc you can get in foods, but also really key for immune support. Vitamin C you can get in citrus fruits and things as well, also really key. So some of the very basics, usually people are on a multivitamin, maybe a fish oil, maybe a probiotic, but you don't have to take loads and loads of things, and ideally from a whole food type of diet. And then I mentioned clean air, clean water, clean food, great sleep. Some of these really core things can make a profound difference. And then the other thing that's interesting, a lot of us are isolated. Social isolation can also decrease immunity. So within your circles and your bubbles of where you're safe, where you're spending time with one another, hug and connect with people that you are able to within your household, because that's really helpful for the immune system as well.
Think about that. Isolation lowers your immunities. This is why I think the enemy has had such a heyday, but he's not going to have the last say. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. I so appreciate you, my friend, and I pray you have the merriest Christmas ever. We just love you, and I thank you for pouring into our listeners once again, Dr. Jill. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, Susie.
Yeah. JillCarnahan.com is her website. Lots of recipes there. You can search almost any topic. You'll find a blog post there. Subscribe to her newsletter. You'll be amazed at what comes into your inbox. I pray you found some encouragement here today. Have some hope. Take the next step God tells you to take. And let's just believe God for better health in the days to come. Hey, we'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.